Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. I'll read through verse number 22. We're going to go to several places this morning. I think we're going to look at a different passage for each of the 4 points that we've got in this message this morning. But we'll start at Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19. The Bible says this, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." I want you to notice a couple of the phrases there. First of all, verse 19, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The way that we can enter in is by the blood of Jesus. And verse number 10, verse number 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. We're going to preach about how the blood of Christ cleanses our conscience. It'll be a different message, but this morning, the blood of Christ draws us near to God. We've learned that the blood of Christ paid the price for our sins. The blood of Christ redeems us. The blood of Christ justifies us. That's that legal term that makes it so that when God looks at us, it's just as if I never sinned. But this morning, I want you to understand something else, something big, that the payment of Jesus Christ on the cross did, the payment of His blood makes it possible for you and I to be close to God. And when you stop and you think about that, beyond just hearing a preacher say it and beyond just hearing a message from the pulpit in church, because we always hear things and we hear a lot of church words and a lot of church teaching. But if you were to stop and say, so God wants me to be close to Him? Just stop and let that sink in for a minute. We're talking about the God that sent His Son, His only Son. And His only Son came to this earth. He died on the cross. He paid the price for your sins. That God is the God that wants you and wants me, sinful people, to be close to Him. I read a story about an old farm couple. They're driving along in their pickup truck, and the wife looked over at her husband and said, "We never sit all snuggled up in the truck like we used to." The husband looked back at her and said, "Well, I haven't moved." And I just want you to consider this morning that God hasn't moved. God wants us to be close to Him. He paid the price for us to be close to Him. He shed His blood on the cross so that not only we would be saved and have eternal life, but that so that we could be close to Him. Now I want to say the ball is in your court. God wants you to be close to Him. Are you drawing close to Him? Let me read our passage one more time. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And in verse number 22, let us draw near. Jesus paid the price for you to draw near to God. What was the price? The price, according to what we just read, is by the blood of Jesus. And then in verse number 20, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us, through the veil, talking about the Old Testament temple and giving us a picture. This would be an illustration of what happened. He said, God wants us to go into the Holy of Holies. He wants us to draw near to where He is. And if you can go with me just a moment in your mind to that Old Testament tabernacle, that Old Testament temple. Go with me in your mind there just for a moment. On the outskirts, you had the wall or the fence around the temple, and as you walked into there, there'd be an altar, and that's where sacrifices were made. And then you go a little bit further, there'd be the different parts of the furniture, but as you get to the very end, there was a very thick curtain, and behind that curtain was where the Ark of the Covenant was, the mercy seat where the blood was sprinkled once a year, and it was placed on there as a payment for sin, looking forward to Jesus being the ultimate payment for sin. But between the Ark of the Covenant, between that mercy seat where the angels covered it, between that and us is a huge thick curtain. It's a curtain so thick that the light that the shines from God's presence doesn't shine through that curtain, but that curtain separates us from what we would call the presence of God. And God says, by the blood of Jesus Christ, He has given us boldness to go into the holy place through the curtain to where God is. And He said in verse number 22, He says, through the veil, that is that curtain, that is to say, His flesh, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, or through His flesh. We sang this song just a few moments ago, and the Bible says this. The hymn book says this. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. Here He to rescue me from danger, listen to this, interposed His precious blood. It was the blood of Jesus Christ that made the payment so that we could go through that curtain, through that veil, and be with God. Now, there's not a physical veil that you have to go through now, but God says, think about that veil. When Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says He is finished, and the Bible says that curtain was ripped, torn in two from the top all the way to the bottom. There is no more veil between you and God. And God says, I want you to draw close to me. And I want you to come near to me. And the reason He can say that is because He paid the price for you to enter near to Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 6:11, the Bible says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, listen to this, through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can be dead to sin and alive to God, and the only way we can do that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23, you know this verse, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. What's the rest of that verse say? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is only through Jesus Christ our Lord that we can draw near to God and that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. It's only through Jesus Christ, the price, the blood of Jesus. The Bible says we can enter God's presence. Now think about this for a moment. Entering into God's presence. God is a holy God. When you look at Revelation, you see chapter 4, maybe chapter 5, you see a description of what the throne of God is like, and it's surrounded, the lightnings and thunder is surrounded by this emerald rainbow, a one-colored rainbow. Can you just imagine that? And God is on the throne, and all around Him, millions and millions of people and angels singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That is the presence of God. And God says, I want you to come into My presence, but sin cannot enter into His presence. But even though sin cannot enter His presence, God challenges us to draw near Him. And the reason that can happen is because Jesus Christ paid for our sins. He covers our sins. And now He says, I want you to come close to Me. You've been saved, likely. If you've not been saved, if you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to address that in just a few moments, but you need to. It's just as simple as that. You need to realize you're a sinner. You need to, just like I am, you need to realize that there's a punishment for sin, that is to die and go to hell. You need to realize that Jesus Christ, He paid the price for your sin when He died on the cross, and you simply need to accept His gift of forgiveness and salvation. That's being saved. And if you have been saved, God wants you to be close to Him. The problem here is this. The price has been paid. God wants you close to Him. The veil, that curtain has been torn down. There's nothing that can separate you from being close to God. But even though you're saved, you may not realize or you may not be living a life near to God. And that's what I want to challenge you about this morning. We can enter into God's presence. We can draw near to God boldly, is the word the Bible uses. Because our sins have been forgiven, we can draw near to God boldly. Because we are entering by the blood of Jesus, it was His blood as payment that gives us the opportunity to enter His presence. It's not based on your qualifications, but His. It's not based on the Old Testament law, which was the law of death. It's based on the new covenant, which is sealed, according to what we just read, by Jesus' death. The Bible calls it a new and living way. Because Jesus is our high priest, we can draw near to God. Because our hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience, we can draw near to God. Because our bodies have been washed with pure water, that's all from Hebrews chapter 10, right in the verses 22 to 24. You've been given boldness to enter into God's presence by the blood of Jesus. I want you to consider this. You don't get to draw close to God because of your own boldness, because of your own goodness, because of anything that you have, but you get to draw close to God. God wants you to draw close to Him because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you with me so far this morning? The blood of Jesus Christ, Jesus paid the price for you to draw near to God. Would you turn to Ephesians chapter 2 this morning? Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. This is great. It's written to non-Jewish people, just like me and likely just like you. People that aren't Jewish, they weren't part of the nation of Israel. Not God's chosen people, but because of salvation, it changes here. So wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's a pretty bad situation. So we're Gentiles, we're not God's chosen people. We are without Christ. We're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We're strangers from the covenants of promise. We have no hope and without God in the world. That's a pretty dire situation. That's who we are. That's what we are. But then look at verse 13, Ephesians 2, 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The word nigh means near. You used to be Gentiles. The Gentiles were far off. The people without Christ are far off. Aliens, definitely far off. No, it wasn't talking about those kind of aliens that live in space, the ones that really don't exist, that we pretend that they exist. We can, you know, sell movies and little dolls and things. Aliens just means people that don't belong. So the Bible says we're Gentiles and without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers, no hope, without God. The Bible says, yes, you, now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh, you're made close by the blood of Christ. When God gave commandments to Moses, the Ten Commandments, the people were not allowed to draw near to God. Think about this for a moment. God says to Moses, Moses, I want you to come up to Mount Sinai. I'm gonna give you these commandments. Then God says, but nobody else is allowed to come up close. God told Moses, even if an animal comes up and touches the mountain, that animal will have to be killed because nobody else is allowed to come close to me as I'm giving the law. They couldn't even touch the mountain where God was. The Bible said if a person touched the mountain where God was giving the Ten Commandments to Moses, if a person touched it, the Bible said their punishment was, these are the Bible's words, to be thrust through, to be killed. And God says, nobody else is allowed to come close while I'm giving the law. When God met Moses at the burning bush, Moses wasn't allowed to get close to God. Now, I want you to follow me here. We just read a few moments ago, God says, I want you to have boldness to come close to me, to draw nigh to God. In Ephesians chapter 2, 13, now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. But I want you to realize this is something special. Not even Moses standing there with the burning bush was allowed to come close to God. Let me read it to you, just so that you believe me. It's Exodus chapter 3, verse 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Okay, you're walking along through the wilderness. You're out on the West Mesa, okay? You're walking along, and there's this bush burning, and it doesn't get burned up. It would only take a few minutes for a tumbleweed to, it's gone, right? It keeps burning. So you turn aside, and you go and look at that. That's what Moses did. He said, now I will turn aside and see why this bush is not all burned up. Verse number 4, and when the Lord saw him, that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Moses answers, here am I. And he said, this is God talking, draw not nigh hither.
Don't come any closer. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Here's a great example. Moses wants to draw close to God, but at this point, God says, Moses, do not come any closer. But now that Jesus has completed his duty as our high priest, and he has offered himself as the sacrifice for our sins, you and I can draw near to God. Think about this. This is big. We have an opportunity to have a closer relationship with God than even the heroes of the Old Testament had. God said to Moses, Moses, don't come any closer. A closer relationship than Moses, a closer relationship than David, maybe even possibly closer than the disciples before Christ's death and resurrection, because before that, Jesus hadn't taken his blood and hadn't placed it on the altar in heaven. And now, because he did, God says, I want you to come near because the price has been paid. The blood sacrifice has been placed on the altar. The perfect blood of Jesus Christ has been offered for you. Your sins are forgiven. The punishment is paid. You're justified. And now I want you to be close. This is an amazing thought, just how close God wants you to be to Him. When you think about Moses and close to God, I'm thinking pretty close. When I'm thinking about King David and close to God, I'm thinking pretty close. But God wants you to be close. Okay, close. Adam and Eve, close to God. Think about this. Here they are in the Garden of Eden before sin. The Bible teaches us that God would walk with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day. I don't know if that was the morning or if that was the evening. The Bible's not specific about that, but sometime during the day when it was cool, God came and walked with them. And he spent time with them. And that's the kind of closeness God wants to have with you. Will you turn to Psalm chapter 63? Psalm 63, we're halfway done. You're enduring very, very well this morning. Psalm 63, did I say 63? Psalm chapter 63, verse 1. I'm going to give you one verse. To be close to God. It's an abstract concept. You can't see him. It's like trying to draw closer to somebody that or something that's just, you can't see, you don't know where they are. But that's what I'm trying to help you to understand. That's what God wants. God is just as real as you are. He's there and he wants you to be close to him. Maybe not just physically close, but spiritually close, close to Him in relationship. Psalm 63:1, the Bible says this, O God, Thou art my God. Let me stop there for just a moment. This is not part of the message. But this is the right way to say, O God. All right? This is the right way. In Psalms, you see every once in a while, O my God. And speaking to God in prayer is the right way to say it. Saying it whenever something surprising happens, oh God, or oh my God, is not the right way to say it. I believe that's blasphemy. I believe that's using his name in vain. Okay, time back in, and we're going back here. Psalm 63:1. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Can you picture someone who's just very, very thirsty? Someone who hasn't had a chance to get a drink for a while. I read a story about a man. He climbed one of the highest mountains in the world. It wasn't Mount Everest, but it was. I think it was in South America. I'm not totally sure. This particular man, I won't go through the whole story. He took a step. He broke his leg, and his partner was trying to get him down off the mountain. They didn't have enough rope. He got stuck, and his partner had to cut the rope. He was left alone to die way up on this super high mountain. Somehow he made it out alive. He didn't eat anything, he didn't drink anything for days. He had this broken leg, sub-zero temperatures. Somehow he made it out of these ice caves alive. As he told the story, he said, I came back into the base camp. just so dehydrated, feeling like I was going to die. And there was a little muddy stream. It wasn't even really a stream, but it was just water just kind of oozing out of the ground. He said, I came to that water, and I pushed my face just right up against the water. There was clay and silt all mixed in there. And I just began to suck the water. And he said, I felt the life come back into my body whenever the water came in. That kind of thirsty. Have you been to a point in your life where you say, God, I want you. I want to be close to you. I want to be near you. I want that relationship with you. Like a thirsty man who's thirsting for water. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Look what God says he will do for someone who seeks him like that. Isaiah 44:3, the Bible says, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. God says, I want you to be thirsty for me. And if you are thirsty for me, I will pour water upon you. I want to be close to you so much that if you will come to me, I will come to you and not only give you just a little bit, but I will pour the water upon him that's thirsty. An 84-year-old man named Henry Morello. 2011, he's driving north of Phoenix, Arizona. He realized that he's heading the wrong direction. When he tried to turn around, he got stuck in a ditch. He was unable to walk to the main road to get help. North of Phoenix, Arizona, you got to understand where he's at, it's hot. He spent 5 days trapped in his car. To stay alive, he took a rock and he cracked open the wiper fluid container in his car and he drank that fluid. He read his car manual front to back to pass the time. When he was rescued, the doctors were amazed to find him in such good condition. Are you thirsty enough to be inconvenienced, to draw near to God? This man, he would have died had he not cracked open the wiper fluid and drank out of that container. How thirsty are you for God? How thirsty are you for that relationship with Him? God says, draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. The blood of Jesus Christ paid the price for you to be close to God. God wants you close to Him more than you can even imagine. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to be close to you. Are you thirsting for that as well? Find James chapter 4, verse 8. The verse I just quoted to you, I'm going to read that. James chapter 4, verse 8. James 4:8, draw nigh to God. I'll read it through a couple times. You have time to find it. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We've got instructions on how to draw nigh to God and what God's talking about there. But just this morning, I just want you to realize how much God wants you there. James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. This is interesting. The price for you to draw nigh or near to God has already been paid. The blood of Jesus Christ has already been shed. It's been offered upon the altar in heaven. Jesus Christ, He was the priest that carried His own blood and offered it as a sacrifice. The sacrifice was accepted. You have been, your sin has been paid for. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, if you've accepted His free gift of forgiveness, you have been forgiven. You have been justified. The price has been paid, but God still says, you still must draw nigh to God. And if you draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. God is waiting for you to draw close to Him. Let me help you to understand what that's like. Drawing nigh to God is an unclaimed treasure that He has already paid for. Jesus shed His blood on the cross so that you and I can get close to God. He's waiting for us to draw nigh to Him. I did some research on unclaimed treasures. And I'm thinking of changing professions to be a treasure hunter now. There's a lot of them out there. I found the top 10 list of unclaimed treasures. 3 or 4 of them were sunken ships in the ocean. That would be a little bit challenging. I don't have any of that equipment. One of them, you may have heard, there's a series on TV now. I've never seen it, but I saw it listed here. The Oak Island Treasure. Who knows what I'm talking about if I say that? All right. The Oak Island Treasure. Nova Scotia. I don't even know where that is, all right, but somewhere.
Northeast America, right? So this Oak Island treasure, these boys, 200 years ago, went out and they saw this circle, kind of depression in the ground. And so they started digging. They went down a few feet and they found that there were logs across there, like a roof or a floor, but they moved the logs out of the way. They kept digging. They went down another 10 feet and there was more of those logs. And they're thinking, we're onto something here. They went down another 10 feet. They dug 30 feet down. Three times they came across logs that were there, I don't know, maybe to hold the dirt in place, maybe to stop people from digging through. They went down 30 feet and finally they gave up because they were in over their head, right? They kept digging. 30 feet, they quit. Other people were called in. They have found layer after layer, every 10 feet or so of these logs. About, I forget how far down, way down, 60 feet or so down, they found a stone or metal a piece with writing on it. They kept going down. They found parchment with little letters on it. They found scraps of metal. They're thinking, there's a treasure there. So far, they've dug about 100 to 200 feet down, haven't found a treasure, but there's still people excavating this place because there's an unclaimed treasure. Let me tell you about this other unclaimed treasure. I found this yesterday. This is a crazy story. 2014, a California couple was walking their dog on a path on their own property. They'd walked this path hundreds of times. As they were walking their dog, she saw an old tin can that had been recently uncovered by the rain. So it was sticking out of the ground. She went over to it. She pulled it out of the ground, looked inside, and it was full of gold coins. I mean, this is last year. Full of gold coins. They start looking around. They find several other tin cans filled with gold coins. They found 1,427 mint condition, uncirculated gold coins from 1847 to the early 1890s. It was worth $10 million. Now, what did they have? Well, it was on their property. It was theirs. Somebody, probably a minor 49er or his daughter Clementine, one of them, they found it. They buried the gold, hoping that they'd come back for later, like using the dirt as their own personal bank. They didn't come back for whatever reason. This couple last year found this, an unclaimed treasure on their property. All they had to do was cash it in. The blood of Jesus Christ paid the price so that you can come close to God. And most of us are living our life as if we've never found the buried treasure. We're living our life, it's there, it's been paid for. The blood of Jesus Christ paid for us to draw nigh to God, but we are not living a life close to Him for whatever reason it is. I want to challenge you this morning. The price has been paid. The blood of Jesus Christ, it has been shed. God wants you to live close to Him. He that spared not His own Son, Romans 8:32, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? God gave His own Son to die for our sins. God chose to accept the sacrifice of His own Son's blood as payment for our sins. And after He did all that for you, you thought I was going to say, what are you going to do for Him? Now, wait a minute. After He did all that for you, why wouldn't He want you to be close to Him? Think about it. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross, shed His blood. He's done all that for you. And the Bible says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? God is waiting for you to draw close to Him. The prodigal son, just the best example, will have to be done. He takes his dad's fortune, half of it. He leaves and breaks his dad's heart. He goes off into the world and he spends a fortune. He wastes it. He doesn't invest it. He just wastes it. And he wastes his dad's fortune on bad living. The Bible calls it riotous living. He gets to the point where all his money is gone. He loses his friends. He's feeding the pigs just to survive. He's eating the pigs' food just to survive. And he says, you know, the servants of my dad are treated better than me. I'm going to go back home. And I'm just going to go back home and I'm going to say, Father, I have sinned. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Would you just make me a servant?
He says, that's what I'm going to do. So he gets up, he starts walking home, and as he's walking home, the Bible says it's a parable. Jesus is helping us to understand this relationship, and his father is looking, and he sees him from a long ways off, and the Bible says the father sees his son coming home, and the father runs to him. The Bible says the father falls upon him, not that he tripped and fell on him, okay? But he holds him with his arms and he hugs him and he embraces him and he says, my son is home. You don't have to be a prodigal living away from God and wasting your life. But God says, if you will start walking towards me, if you will draw near to me, I will draw near to you. God wants you close to him so bad that he let Jesus shed his blood on the cross to pay for your sin. Jesus paid the price for you to draw near to God. God wants you close to him no matter how far away you are now. You should seek to draw close to God like a thirsty man seeks water. And God is waiting for you to draw close to him. Father, I pray that you would this morning help us to make a decision to come close to you. Lord, maybe there's one here this morning who has not yet trusted you as their Savior. I pray that this morning they would do that. Lord, there's many here this morning who are not living a life that is close to you. They're living a defeated life. They're living a life to the best of their ability, but it's not good enough. And Lord, if they could just realize the freedom, the rest that comes with drawing close to you, I pray that you'd help us to make that decision this morning.